This is a Bible teaching podcast from www.lumen.org.uk. That's lumin.org.uk. The presenter is Jeff Lumley.
So we're coming to Romans chapter 2, and well, I'm sure you know that the chapter headings were put in later by scholars to try to make it easier to find which bit of text anyone was particularly referring to. So Paul didn't write in an idea with chapters as we would understand them today at all. He wrote a letter which is just a continuous whole. I'm sure there were clear places where he was starting again, but this is not one of them. So verse 32 of chapter 1 concludes with, "Although they know God's righteous decree that those who do such things deserve death, they not only continue to do these very things, but also to approve of those who practice them." Chapter 2, "You therefore have no excuse, you who pass judgment on someone else, for at whatever point you judge the other, you're condemning yourself, because you who pass judgment do the same things." What? This letter, going back to chapter 1, verse 7, is written to all in Rome who are loved by God and called to be saints. And now, after this long, degrading, worsening list of offences that Paul has written about, becoming filled with every kind of wickedness, evil, greed, depravity, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, and malice, "you have no excuse when you pass judgment on someone else, for at whatever point you judge the other, you're condemning yourself, because you who pass judgment do the same things." That's never sat happily with me. I've always just thought, what? You know, he's given us that long list, and he then says, "You, everybody that's reading this." But actually, of course, this is a translation, and it's a translation of Greek which was structured differently. And I'm going to read the same verse now, verse 1 of chapter 2, not from the NIV, which I just read, but from the NET, the New English Translation. In fact, let's just read it and see what it says. So, "Therefore, you are without excuse, whoever you are, when you judge someone else. For on whatever grounds you judge another, you condemn yourself, because you who judge practice the same things." Do you see that has put it in a slightly different order? It's now made the emphasis on "you who judge," not "you." It's taken the sense away from it being that you are all judging to, now, to those of you who make judgments. Let's not forget that we are living in Romans, the time Paul wrote this, where the world was divided, at least in Jewish eyes, into the people of Israel and the nations, the Gentiles, the everyone else. And it's possible to read through verse chapter 1 and go, if you're a good Israelite, a good Jew, as it was, "Oh, this is what they do. This is what the Gentiles are like. Look, he's got it so nailed. This is exactly what the Gentiles are like." And so now he comes in with a shock. "You are just the same. You, if you pass judgment on them, are guilty of the same things." And in the Old Testament, we can see that God chose Israel to be a light to the Gentiles, a light to the nations, but they failed to do it. And it's only when Jesus comes that light is truly revealed to the nations. And so he's saying, actually, Israel, you have done the same. If you look at your history, you have done the same. And individuals, we are all guilty. In fact, I don't think you can read that list in chapter 1 without going, "Oh, that's a bit of me there. Oh, there's a bit of me there." And what he's saying is, you've got no right to judge. You've got no right to pass judgment, because you do the same things. What's the difference? You are forgiven. You are under grace. They are not. Don't judge them. Bring the gospel to them. That's the message of Romans. It's not that we are so great, we are holy, we are God's people, God loves us, you lot are scum. It's actually, we were just like you, but we've recognized what Jesus has done. He's brought us out of the miry pit and set our feet upon the rock, Psalm 40. And we want you to come with us and stand with us on the rock. That's the message of the gospel. That's going to be the thrust of Romans as we go through it. And so there's a shock here to the original readers. And really, it's always shocked me. This is a great, but I prefer that NET translation. I've only got verse chapter 2, verse 1. Let me read the last verse in the NIV of chapter 1 and then go straight into chapter 2, verse 1 from the New English. Although they know God's righteous decree that those who do such things deserve death, they not only continue to do these very things, but also approve of those who practice them. Therefore, you are without excuse, whoever you are, when you judge someone else. For on whatever grounds you judge another, you condemn yourself because you who judge practice the same things. This whole book, this whole message, the gospel, is about the fact we can be saved. We can be redeemed from that dark place that we have been in. And we have no right to judge anyone else. And but I hear you say, isn't it the case that in the last judgment we will judge the world? Doesn't that what it says later on in scripture? Yeah, it does. But firstly, that's not now. It's not while we're going through this life now. And secondly, I very much doubt it's anything to do with the sort of judgment that Paul is calling out here. In fact, it's possible that the way we will be involved in that judgment will simply to be that we will have been separated like sheep from goats, and we will stand with him, and it will be seen that we were boastful, we invented ways of doing evil, we were full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, and malice, but we said yes, thank you to Jesus. And the judgment on the goats will be the only reason they're being separated is because they rejected Jesus. And we're involved in that judgment because we are the examples that show them what could have been. It may be more than that, I don't know, but I think that is certainly part of it. And that, in a sense, is, you know, don't let that be the first time they see this. And this I'm speaking to myself very clearly. Don't let that be the first time those who know you see that you have been forgiven. Let them know it now. Not in an arrogant way, not in a boastful way, but just in a, you know what? I was in the miry pit, but he set my feet upon a rock. You know what? I was lost, but Jesus found me and brought me home. Psalm 40, I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and mire. He set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand. He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord. That's the gospel. That's what it should be for us. Verse 2 of chapter 2 of Romans. Now we know that God's judgment against those who do such things is based on truth. So when you, a mere man, pass judgment on them, and yet you do the same things, do you think you will escape God's judgment? Or do you show contempt for the riches of his kindness, tolerance, and patience, not realizing that God's kindness leads you towards repentance? And the picture is therefore we should be showing God's kindness to them. We should be part of how they are led towards repentance. We are not made right because we are good. We are made right because he is our Saviour. We are not made right because there's anything special about us. We are made right because we heard his call and we responded. And how did we hear his call? Probably because someone told us. So when we see people who are like the people described in chapter 1, we need to tell them. verse 5, but because of your stubbornness and your unrepentant heart, you're storing up wrath against yourself for the day of God's wrath, when his righteous judgment will be revealed. God will give to each person according to what he has done. To those who by persistence in doing good seek glory, honor, and immortality, he'll give eternal life. But for those who are self-seeking and who reject the truth and follow evil, there will be wrath and anger. There will be trouble and distress for every human being who does evil, first for the Jew, then for the Gentile, for the nations. But glory, honor, and peace for everyone who does good, first for the Jew, then for the Gentiles. For God does not show favoritism. So, remembering who this is written to, there would have been people in Rome from the Jewish background who were judging the Gentiles. But he's saying, no, no, you can't do that. It's about God's grace, and that is available to you, and it's available to them. And he goes on, and I'm not going to read verses 12 to 16, but he goes on and say, talking about the law, and says, you are going to be measured against the law because you know and understand it, and whether you've obeyed it or not, you're going to be measured against that. They're not, because they haven't heard it. They're going to be measured about whether they respond to God and, in fact, how they follow their own consciences. There's a lesser measurement, really, on them, who you are judging, than there is on you, who are judging them. So don't judge them. Recognize that you are under grace. That man on the cross, those two men on the cross, either side of Jesus, what did he say, the criminal? He said, don't you recognize that we are under the same sentence as God? We deserve it. He doesn't. Can I have your grace, Jesus? Whereas the other one was saying, ha, ha, I don't care. You are, I despise you. And it's that moment of saying, I deserve everything from this cross. Can I have your grace, Jesus? Jesus, I come to you. That is the point of contact with eternity. That is the point of contact with grace. That is the point of contact with salvation. And that, Paul says, in this is the message. We must not judge those who do these things. And we live in a world where people do all sorts of things listed in this. And yes, it says the end is coming, because Jesus said the end has begun now and you will see these things until I come again. And yes, it was better maybe 100 years ago when more people believed or at least went to church. But the truth is, these are the people on this planet now, and they haven't heard. And we need to give them the opportunity of responding to Jesus as we have had that opportunity of responding to Jesus. And without that, they're lost. But it doesn't matter how much we judge them, that doesn't affect their eternal outcome. The only way we can affect their eternal destiny is to tell them about Jesus. And maybe right now you're thinking along the lines of what the prophet Jonah thought. Humph, I'm so angry because God, I went and I preached to those rotten, terrible, horrible scumbags and they've repented and they've become believers, God, and they're going to spend eternity with me and I hate it. Maybe that's your feeling. Maybe you just don't want them saved. Maybe you think, no, I'd rather have the nice people there. Thank you very much. That's not what God's saying. God wants everyone saved. And we have no right to pass judgment. What is it that gets you? The graffiti artist? The group of immigrants shouting for Sharia law? The people who are condemning Christians as bigots? God says love them. God says don't judge them. God says let them know about grace, because that is the only way you can affect their destiny. And that's the message of the Romans, but the letter to Romans. As we go on, we shall see more.
Please have a look at www.lumen.org.uk to find YouTube videos of talks by Jeff, books and resources written by Jeff, as well as courses and more. That's www.lumen.org.uk.
I wait impatiently for the Lord, He inclined and had my kind. He brought me up out of the pit, out of the miry clay.
Thank you for listening.